Welcome to the onliners. I posted an alert on MeWe, and it is not about the rapture tonight. It is about Bethlehem Ephratah. Micah 5, 1 to 2.
Thanks, Jim.
So if you look at the title of the message tonight, it'll explain the music choices tonight. It is not a Christmas in March service. In 4 months, we'll have Christmas in July service.
Nice.
We're still 272 days away from Christmas. But this is about our Bible study of Micah. We just happen to be studying about, and these songs, yes, we sing them at Christmas, but they're hymns. They're not Christmas songs, although they can be Christmas songs. And so you'll see them in our hymn book, as well as our praise.
Hi,
so
everybody.
Get your BBF praise book first, because we're going to start with, O Beautiful Star of where?
Bethlehem.
Page 62. All four verses.
Now it is.
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star. Give us a light to guide the way unto beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Amen. Good singing. All right, now, page 75.
You will recognize this, normally called We Three Kings. And we have our own version of this called We Wise Men of Babylon Are.
Turn the page.
Five verses.
We wise men of Babylon are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty.
All four verses.
see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us.
Mine says we sing that in F, and F. I think it was too low. Did everybody?
F is lower.
It was too low.
Well, make a note. We need to work on that.
Yeah, we discussed it at home, and
we didn't have time to change it. So
that was G. Wasn't
one more.
It
was, yeah. Don't put away those instruments yet.
Oh,
we're going to sing.
See
93, not 514.
93.
Just turn your page if you haven't already closed it. 93. What key do you have for this one, Jenny?
C.
Good, that's what I have too. And Jenny sings away.
What is the...
Hark the Herald Angel sings.
All four verses.
Send them to bbfohio@protonmail.com.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to say hi to you. Annalene, Bethany, Pedro.
Okay, come on. Get moving on. Say hi to them immediately. Silence yourself, Owen. Did anybody want a prayer card?
Apparently, she already did it.
That's why I wanted to go say hi to everybody. Don't, because already passed
that's
them
the
out.
Whole point. Don't do that until I ask you to do it. That's the whole point. What is it with everybody?
I just wanted to be a little ahead of it.
I did what I was supposed to do.
Don't take it personal. I didn't say anything.
He said everybody.
There's a reason why we do things the way we do it. And when we do it, it's so there's not chaos and all that kind of thing. And just, anyway, they Johnny, did you already fix the camera and everything? All right. I'll let the camera people do their thing. And we'll
Mike's
get this
on.
All
Camera's
up.
On.
You can get your Bibles open to Micah chapter 5.
James, go.
We just, that's why we do some things we do, just because we want to be considerate of everyone out there watching. Uh-huh. And once in a while we'll say hi to somebody special or whatever, but you leave an awful lot of people out if you say hi to a handful of people every time. And we appreciate everybody listening. There'll be a lot of people watching, listening when we're not live, by the way. Mm-hmm. But open your Bibles, if you will, to Micah 5. We'll get to that after the current events update. We ask you to hold your questions and comments. And please don't speak over the video clips or the speaker so everyone can hear the current events update. Number one, Israel at war as of 3/27/24, day 173, the 134 hostages, the official number, remain. And Israel was ready to release hundreds of Palestinians for 40 hostages. Now think of that.
Wow.
That's the way it's always been. The Palestinians have always gotten like anywhere from 50 to 150 for one. That's the trade. And, well, that wasn't enough. And so the report was that Israel has agreed to release some 700 to 800 Palestinian prisoners in return for 40 Jews. Or I believe they're mostly Jews. There might be a few others. There's a few Americans involved in this as well. As part of a temporary ceasefire agreement in the Gaza Strip. But Hamas, one of my theories is that it's because they're dead.
That's what I think.
And so, in the meantime, those in Iran who are actually the money and power behind Islamic terrorism and Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, they continue to see tensions between Israel and Iran directly grow. This happened in Syria. IDF strikes Iran-linked operatives, and more than 15 were killed. At least 15 were killed. And the IRGC is the Iranian alphabet label for their units over there, involved in attempts to smuggle advanced arms into the West Bank so that they can then attack Israel. And that's why the IDF cut them off. This is happening as our leadership in this country, the Biden administration, turns the U.S. government against Israel. The UN passed a ceasefire resolution, and the United States abstained and refused to veto it. And it really shocked even the people who voted for it. A lot of them voted for it thinking that the United States would veto it and it wouldn't matter. But Gallant, who is the IDF spokesperson, is still here trying to smooth over tensions after Netanyahu called everybody else back, called off the talks. And, you know, he's trying to, for the sake of the cause in Israel, trying to smooth things over. He stresses the importance of U.S. support between meetings with top Biden officials who use opportunity to pass along tough messages on Gaza humanitarian aid. And it's just hogwash. There's humanitarian aid going over there, and Hamas steals it and uses it. It's not even getting to the people who need it. And then on top of that, you know, in no other war was this, this didn't happen to us when we were fighting, you know, even in Vietnam. Even in Vietnam, they didn't have this kind of, our own government tied our soldiers' hands behind their backs. But they didn't have these kind of humanitarian concerns, and they never have in any war. Of course, Americans have prided themselves on being unlike the Nazis and the Russian Soviets, who just would kill and rape and murder at will. And the Japanese did a lot of that too, by the way. And so did the Viet Cong and so forth, North Koreans. But not that our history and our soldiers were above reproach. There were a lot of bad things happened there too, but nowhere near in, I guess you'd say, like by percentage of or ratio, however you want to put it, there was a lot smaller instances, number of instances. But anyway, over there, Hamas hides behind people, hides in hospitals and schools. So if you're going to fight them, then you're going to hit schools and hospitals. It's the only way to get them. So if polls are to be believed, then the American people are also turning against Israel. This came out today. A Gallup poll shows that the majority in the U.S. now disapprove of Israel's actions in Gaza. Why is that? Because it starts with the church. Because the majority of pastors aren't educating their people, because those pastors are cowards and hirelings who are more concerned with tickling the ears, itching the ears, and also offerings.
Amen.
That's what they're concerned with. And I know I'm not talking to a bunch of people who actually need to hear this, but I can tell you this, if you did need to hear it, I could care less if you stopped giving a dime. I'm not going to stop telling the truth.
Amen.
and so forth and so on and what have you. A recent poll by Gallup found a shift in general public opinion in the United States toward disapproving of Israeli military action in Gaza as compared to the survey taken in November. The shift made the partisan split, of course, because the Democrat Party is made up of a bunch of godless, Christ-rejecting fools. Amen. And among the Republican Party, there are Christ-rejecting fools, and they also are involved in this. Amen. That's who it is. The shift made the partisan split even more evident, with 64% of Republicans approving of Israel's military. That means that 36% of Republicans are fools.
Amen. That's right.
And as opposed to just 18% of Democrats, which means 82% of Democrats are fools.
Amen.
And independents in the middle at 29%, which means 71% of independents are fools. These numbers were compared to a similar Gallup poll, as I said, taken in November. I'm going to have more about what's going on in Palestine. But I want to show you this. In the meantime, more crazy, stupid, white, liberal women stand with Islamic terrorists. If you're a white woman and you got offended by what I just said, it's because you're stupid. I didn't say white women. I said crazy white liberal women. And crazy white liberal women are the curse of this country right now.
Amen.
It's not, there's plenty of crazy black women and crazy Latino women and crazy Jewish women, but the numbers are with the crazy, stupid white women in this country. And it's their vote that really is the difference when it comes to elections. You want to know why abortion is codified in the Constitution of the state of Ohio? I'll give you one guess. Crazy, stupid, white, liberal women.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And I'm so sick of, since the 80s, I've had to bootlick all these feminist white women. It was almost all feminist white women in my schools. Almost all feminist white women on TV. They're idiots. They're fools. And if they don't repent, they'll go to hell.
Amen.
So don't follow them.
Amen.
Look at this stupidity. They're shaving their heads in solidarity with the devil-possessed Hamas and Palestinians.
Stop the blockade.
Stop harming Israel.
At first I thought they said stop harming Israel. Then stop arming Israel. That's what they
said. Stop,
stop arming is what they say. And as I said Sunday, they're listening. In Canada, they're no longer going to sell arms to Israel. In America, it's coming soon. Still feel sorry for those poor, innocent Palestinians? Well, I mean, just showed you these stupid white women shaving their heads. In the latest poll conducted in Gaza and the West Bank, 71% of Palestinians still support the October 7th massacre, where hundreds of women were raped and over 1,200 men, women, and children lost their lives after being raped. The poll was conducted by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research. 71% still support what Hamas is doing. So don't tell me about those poor Palestinians dying over there. They're not innocent. They're not poor, innocent Palestinians. And the children, yeah, you can make an argument for that, but you know what? If they're under the age or under the capacity of accountability, then they'll go to heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Probably doing them a favor.
Yeah. Amen.
To be raised to be Muslim devils who strap on bombs and that kind of thing. And we have the chart regarding Palestinians being a fictitious thing that's just made up. And the land has been under the possession of these groups. And if you flip that on your side, you'll see it there with the timeline. And you'll notice from the time of the Canaanites, who are extinct, so they have no, you have to exist to lay land of the claim to the land, so they don't exist, so you don't have to worry about Canaanites anymore. And then you go down through there from the time that Israel was in the land, one after the other, and you will not see one time where there was a group called Palestinians or a country or nation called Palestine. Not once. Total fiction. That's why we stand with Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, so many stories, so little time. But at a glance, just a couple of things we'll cover here. Was this just an accident?
No.
You heard about this, most of you. If not, you need to breathe and listen and open your eyes. There's a world. Things are going on. And this was all over the news last night and this morning. But this barge slammed into a bridge and hit the one of two pylons that would bring it down. And we're supposed to believe that was an accident.
Yeah.
And the more you watch the, here it is, it's coming up right on right now.
Wow.
But the more you watch this video, you realize, look at all the space.
Yeah.
And he hit that one little tiny area where the pylon is. And here you're about, there it is, boom. And there you go.
Wow.
Now, thankfully, they say that they blocked traffic, and the only people that were on the bridge at the time were people who were working, and there was like six of them, I think, and they haven't found them. They've called it off, this rescue mission. Now it's just a recovery mission. They want to recover those bodies. Here's what I was thinking. So I went ahead and copied this tweet that I was thinking, because immediately they came out and said it wasn't terrorism. Yeah. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How do you know that? I wasn't ready to say it was terrorism, but how do you know it's not? Like this lady says, they declared it wasn't an attack before any investigation could possibly be done. What does that tell you?
Amen.
Yeah, that's where I lean after that. So we're going to keep our eye out on MeWe. I gave a thread, Laura Logan, if you know how to find her on X/Twitter. You can find a lot of other interesting information. She has contacts. Laura Logan, some of you recognize her name. Yeah. She's an investigative journalist. She has contacts that she says are in intelligence, and they're telling her there's no way this was an accident.
Amen.
So we'll see more about that. But that kind of reminds me of safe, secure elections. Before they did any investigation, you were told to shut up. These were the safest, most secure elections in our lifetime, even though we wouldn't and didn't ever investigate them. That's what they told you. Well, that tells me right there somebody's lying to me, because I know there's no way they could know that at that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
And now we know. But more and more information trickles out. This is just
yesterday, the British Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden confirmed that China hacked into the UK's election system in both 2021 and 2022. In a statement, he said, quote, I can confirm today that Chinese state-affiliated actors were responsible for two malicious cyber campaigns targeting our democratic institutions and parliamentarians. Now, why did British authorities wait until 2024 to confirm these hacks? Probably because they didn't want the British public to know their election system was just as insecure as America's election system in 2020. Meanwhile, in California, there was a Senate primary election being held. The compulsive liar Adam Schiff was competing against retired baseball legend Steve Garvey for the top spot, and the votes are still being counted 3 weeks later. Now, let me repeat. A Senate primary was held on March 5th. It's March 26th today, and they have yet to finish counting the ballots in California. That's the essence of fraud. Hey, that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of Democrat Representative Katie Porter, who announced that the election was rigged on Twitter X after coming in third place in the election. How can you disagree with her? I mean, she should know. Porter clarified her statement later by adding, quote, rigged means manipulated by dishonest means. A few billionaires, she says, spent 10 plus million on attack ads against her, including an ad rated false by an independent fact checker. That is dishonest, she said, means to manipulate an outcome. Now, welcome to the election denier conspiracy crowd, Katie. Happy to have you here.
One thing's for sure is that our elections are not safe and secure. Yeah. That's just a fact. In the meantime, the world is seeing this as Christianity. Here's how Easter is next Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then for a week and a half, 2 weeks, a lot of churches have Easter plays and everything. Here's one, and this is going on all over the country. Church puts on a Western-themed Easter play that sees Cowboy Jesus getting shot and crucified. Musical numbers like Gangnam Style are in the play. A white guy dressed up as an Asian shopkeeper doing Russell Peters' infamous comedy sketch and others. That's just one of them, where they turn the Bible story into a Western, where it gets worse. Some churches are crucifying Batman and making Batman the resurrected Savior for Easter. So, and then there's this.
We were in Malawi, Africa, doing a healing festival with about 80,000 people, most of them Muslims. I got up to speak, and when I got up, it was like the heavens opened. All these angels began to come down, and the Holy Spirit said to me, take authority over witchcraft. And as I got up, it was interesting because there was this tree that was on the side of the stage, and there was this bird, a crow, that was up there, and he was cawing away. And as I took authority over the witchcraft, and I said the name of Jesus, listen, this crow morphed into a man, fell out of the tree, and and the man was naked and ran off into the woods. And what's wild about that is that there are shape-shifting witch doctors in that region, and most people were terrified of them, but because the Lord knocked that guy out of that shape-shifting appearance, over 50,000 Muslims gave their lives to Jesus that night.
Need boots up to here to get through that crap if he was in that place where he's talking. These guys will just blasphemously tell any wild story you want to hear, and there's people out there like, wow, that's amazing. Praise the Lord. A shape-shifting witch doctor was a crow, and he got rebuked and fell out of the tree naked and ran off, and that because of that, 50,000 Muslims were saved. Ain't a bit of evidence that that ever happened. There's no documentation, no eyewitnesses to it. Folks, you wonder why a lot of people, when you try to talk to them about Jesus and they won't talk to you, you may not understand it, but that's a lot of the reason why a lot of people won't talk to you. They think that's what you are in on. I've had people, you know, say, I don't really have any desire to go to church. And when I ask them why, they describe what they expect to see, and that's what it is, that kind of stuff. The charismatic movement has done more damage than Satanism.
Amen.
I stand behind and in front of that remark.
Amen.
The charismatic movement has done more damage to the cause of Christ than Satanism has.
Yep.
Because Satanism is in the raw right in front of your face, whereas this tries to pretend to be Christianity.
Yep.
And people think that's what it is. Same thing's happened with the Catholic Church. You know, you either run into people who see this stuff, or you run into people who have been damaged by the Catholic Church. It's once in a while you'll see, you know, someone who is damaged in a fundamentalist cult or damaged in a holiness church of some kind. But most of the time you'll see charismania, and the Catholic Church are behind why you knock on a door or you try to talk to somebody and they just rather take that thing and wad it up, throw it at you, try to give them a trap. And there's this. This is contemporary Christian concert. And this is not abnormal. This is the kind of thing you see. People go to these concerts. You know, Christians are taking their, fornicating and sodomite friends to these concerts because they feel right at home. And that's the stuff that they see when they go. Grinding on the stage. You know, like it's a, you know, typical, you know, dance club out here where that kind of thing happens. And then locally, some of you might have seen this. Former Worthington Christian girls basketball coach has been arrested, accused of having sex with a student. And he carried on a sexual relationship from the time she was 16 to out of school. And I don't know, you know, all the information, but I know having sex with one of your students while they're a minor and you're not married to them is wrong.
Amen.
And then, so this is the kind of stuff people out here in Worthington around the Central Ohio area, they see all this other stuff I'm talking about, but then they see this kind of stuff and you try to talk to them about the Lord and they're like, who needs that? You know, most people are like, I'm as good as these people without religion, you know, without God. Many tens of thousands of professing Christians sit under this type of preacher. This is what's going on largely in black churches, but it's happening in most of the mainline Protestant churches of any color, men and women, standing up in the pulpits. A lot of them are sodomites. This guy is a bit effeminate, but I don't know that he's a, you know, flamer. I don't know anything about him, but he's definitely on the whole Black Lives Matter get up. Now listen to what he says here.
You all today, as we reflect on the storming of the Capitol by supremacists, you all, I find myself grieved, angry, exhausted, and fearful in the wake of the events that have transpired in Washington, D.C. You're going to see them now. We have seen the horrific images. And I say today, shame on every preacher and pastor who primarily through their silence and in other ways through their words and actions have created a golden calf out of the current administration because of their desire of economic gain, have been silent in preaching the whole gospel. Who through theological and hermeneutical heresy have nurtured a false doctrine that has separated Jesus from justice. I say shame on you. And may God have mercy on your souls. I hold you in contempt because it is the sheep of your flock who have done these acts and so many others with the audacity to do them in the name of Jesus. But as my shirt declares, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Now, because I don't know. These actions are not like the Christ that we serve. They are not like the Christ of the Bible. Because Jesus, you better listen to me clearly. Jesus will never storm the capital of your heart. Can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? Leaders whose decrees permit injustice? They gang up against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death.
Now listen.
But the Lord is my fortress. My God is the mighty rock where I hide. God will turn the sins of evil people back on them. He will destroy them for their sins. The Lord our God will destroy them.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
I'm not worried. That guy should be. I guarantee you, you ask him, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe Jesus was God and the only true Savior of the world? Do you believe in it's okay for women to abort their babies? Do you think it's okay to have gay marriage? Ask him all these questions. Gun control, all those. Guarantee you that most, if not all those issues, he's going to land with the devil.
Amen.
Every one of those, if not Amen. Most of them. And that's what's in these churches and in quotes. And the Bible tells us this though also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and that's where we are. There's a time when you'd never hear that in any church. But you're hearing it now. All kinds of churches preach that stuff. Be informed, pray and act accordingly. I want to make this short. I went a little long, but we have about 5 minutes, I think, if we have any questions or comments. Anybody want to ask anything or make a comment? Jenny.
The reason I was just thinking when the shift in public opinion between October 7th and now, it's because the mainstream media has done their programming.
Yes.
Of the mass, stupid masses.
Yep. That's exactly right. The programming is sticking. They said, now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Yep. All right, well, let's get into our study after a word of prayer. And Jenny is going to sing, and I'm going to back her up a little bit. So let's get into our Bible study of prayer. It's good to have Brother John Allball back among the living.
Woohoo!
Amen.
We'll ask him if he would to open our Bible study of prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come again once again in your presence and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you tonight, Lord, that I believe everyone in this room knows for sure that you are the Savior of the world.
Amen.
And we know, Lord, that the authorized King James is the Word of God. And that you are the only way through your precious blood as far as going to heaven family for the life. And that you care about the smallest details in each of our lives. And Lord, you granted us through the gospel to share your power with everyone around us to know the real truth of Christ. And Lord, our friends are but dust, and how we need your help and your guidance in this area. We need extra boldness in these last days because the fight is bigger and stronger than ever. And you told us it would be this way these last times.
Amen.
Help each of us, Lord, to spend more time in prayer, more time in reading your word, more time memorizing it, and more time fellowshipping one with another. And when we see each other, Lord, to be a greater encouragement one to another. Help us to continue to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And may we share that grace and knowledge with those around us. Bless your word tonight. Give us hope and guidance and lead us through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And for your glory, amen.
Amen.
Before the mountains were brought forth, before the oceans had their shores, before the potter made this Jesus knew he'd come to die from everlasting to everlasting. He is God, he is the same from everlasting to everlasting.
Chapter 5, we're going to see that song comes from our text, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2 as we begin Micah 5 with the messianic prophecy, including the birthplace of Jesus, but thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah. And so let's go ahead and read those first two verses. Read them with me. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
So Micah picks up after chapter 4, where we left off with the Babylonian captivity and the next big prophecy in his day. Today, what's the next big prophecy?
Rapture.
The rapture. That's the next big thing on God's...
Wouldn't that be most likely? Because God could happen.
Yeah, that's possible. But as far as the church is concerned, we're looking for the rapture.
Amen.
And if you were to be living 500, 600, 700 years before Christ, you'd be looking for the Babylonian captivity. And then after that, the next big one is the coming of the Christ. And so we're going to see that in these two verses. There's the contemporary context in verse 1, and then verse 2, the messianic arrival. And then we're just going to mention where we're going to spring from this study, setting the stage for what we're about to see in the rest of the chapter. So picking up where we left off there in Micah 4, then chapter 5, verse 1, tells us what we read there. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. So it's a mixture of the condition they're in. He's basically saying what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah said, there's no reason to fight against it. If you fight against it, you'll die. And if you try to fight against them, they'll kill you. If you run to Egypt, they'll hunt you down. You just line up in troops, and that, because that's what's going to happen when Babylon takes them out. They'll line them up, single file line, and they'll march them. Right across the map there, you see from Israel to modern day Iraq. And that's where they marched the Jews when they came in and took them. And that included a few young men we mentioned before. Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and
Azariah.
And they're better known as?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah. And I repeat that because it helps me. But it also helps you to make those connections. So it's done. It's a done deal as far as the captivity. God has said it's going to happen. And so you may as well line up and submit to the coming captivity. Gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. Now, there's some debate on the rest of that verse. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Some believe that that's a clear reference to the king that was sitting on the throne at the time. And Zechariah... it was prophesied that he would see the coming of Babylon, and then he would see his sons killed, but then he wouldn't actually see Babylon. And what happened was he gets his eyes
poked out.
Mm-hmm. That's all part of that. And so he was smote with a rod upon the cheek, where your eyes are just above your cheeks, aren't you? I mean, none of you look like freaks. You all got cheeks and eyes right above, you know. So I believe that's what it's referring to there. But, of course, some make that to talk about Jesus, who was smitten. And he is the ultimate judge of Israel. And so it could be. We're going to linger on that. The way in which these prophecies ran together, though, left even the prophets who spoke them unsure. We can pretty well assume that Micah, like the rest of the prophets, spoke these prophecies but didn't actually understand them the way you and I can. We have sort of what you could call a spiritual hindsight. Even though some of these are still future, we have the New Testament and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us and so forth. And so look over at 1 Peter 1. You'll see that Peter explains this to us there. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Now, I'll give you a second to get there. There's 10 through 12. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Read that first verse there, verse 10 with me. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, when it talks about the grace that should come to you, of course, we're saved by grace, but we're saved in who?
Jesus.
Christ is the embodiment of the grace of God. He is the deliverer who brings grace to us. So everything about Jesus coming as Savior is all about the grace that we have received and been saved by. And it says here the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Read verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Daniel's the only one who gives us the actual timing. And there's no evidence that he understood exactly all the implications of that. And so he probably fits in right here. Of course, even though he's the one who gave us that. But then when Jesus comes, you remember Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, if you had known the day of your salvation." Why did he say it? Because they could have known. Visitation. What did I say? Yeah, your visitation. Who's the visitation from? The Messiah, who's bringing salvation, deliverance. And so, verse 12 is where I left off. Read that. unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that amazing? It's not just the prophets, the angels. They don't understand all this. And they come from a completely different situation than you and I. If an angel falls, they're eternally damned. You and I fall, and what happens? The Lord picks us up. Before we were saved, we sinned many times. How many of you, once you were saved, look back and with wonder that God even allowed you to live long enough to get saved? Amen. The angels don't experience that. And so it leaves them wondering. So I think that's pretty fascinating to think about the prophets and even the angels looking at our situation, especially those of us who are saved. I think a lot of them are up there saying, what does he see in those people? So the captivity is coming, but, and that's how verse 2, go back to Mike, look at the first word there. But, the messianic arrival there. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. How many times does God choose the little things? He chose this little thing. I'm of no consequence in the world. I'm just a small fry. You know, I'm a little guy. I mean, somebody, Kim's laughing because he got a belly. I wasn't talking about my belly. But In the realm of the world, are any of you big people? I didn't know it, but maybe you are. I don't know. You know, you big shots? Anybody? How many of you know people who think they're big shots and they're not? That's a real problem. And you know what happens to most of us, especially if you're a child of God, what happens is God will bring you to your knees and he'll deal with it. Sooner or later, God will cut you down, as Johnny Cash would say. I know there have been few times God cut me down to size, reminded me of how little I am. But then, you know, it shouldn't be something God has to do to you. If you're just intelligent and use your intelligence and have any sense of discernment, as we've talked about before, and just think of the fact that the creator of the universe has got to be many times more powerful and greater than all the power of the universe combined. So then just compare yourself to the universe. How many of you remember when Carl Sagan came out with that? There was a picture where one of those, Viking one or one of them are out there. They turned it around and took a picture of the Earth. And it looked like basically a sun ray. And there's a little blue speck in that sun ray was the Earth. And then behind it was the backdrop of the entire universe. That's what's so sickening about this whole flat earth stuff and all these people try to tell you that everything NASA shows you is just CGI. Yes, they use CGI, just like when you get a picture taken and some of you women put makeup on. It's still you. And the guy takes a photo and they doctor those photos so you look like something better than you are. But it's still you. And so the pictures we have of space, it's out there, folks. And all the flat earthers can just, stay in their stupid little world where you can pretend that everything's pretend. All you have to do is stand outside and look up. I mean, where I'm at, it's so dark out there compared to you city dwellers. And we stand out there in the really dark sky and we look up and the number of stars. And then you realize that some of what we're seeing isn't stars, but galaxies. Yeah. And what they do is they, by belittling the size and the depth of the universe, they're belittling God. Because as we realize how vast and amazing this universe is, we understand how vast and amazing God is. The smaller your universe, the smaller your God. So anyway, Bethlehem's history is a very interesting story. Although it's a little tiny speck on the map, Israel itself is a speck on the map, and then Bethlehem's just a tiny speck inside Israel. But it's got an amazing, right up to this day, Bethlehem. It's hyphenated in your King James because it's two words, Bethlehem. And it means Beth, house. Lehem is talking about bread, house of bread. That's just what it means. I've never found anybody explain actually where the name comes from and why it's called that, except for there's probably some good fresh bread when it was first founded, and they had bakers there. Well, that fits, but that wouldn't explain the original naming of the city is what I'm talking about. Why did they name it that in the first place? And I haven't found any real explanation for that. But that's interesting, knowing Jesus was born there and he's the bread of life and it's a house of bread. So that's pretty good. So first mention was in Genesis 35:19, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to where? Ephrath, which is called Ephratah as well, which is Bethlehem. So it's all same little area. And then a few verses or a few chapters later, Jacob is talking. He says, as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, where yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. That's how we're introduced to Bethlehem in the Bible. Well, much more can be found in the study of the history of Bethlehem Ephrathah, but for our purposes, we're just going to point out a few things here real quick. Bethlehem was once described like this. This was back in 1880. The population of 5,000 souls is almost entirely Christian. And the inhabitants are remarkable for their enterprise and energy and trade. The Bethlehem women are famous for their beauty, for their delicate complexion and aquiline features. What does that mean?
They're not, they don't
aquiline?
Yeah, they don't have like big noses.
Okay. Because I was thinking of water. I'm like, what's it
got to do? I know, right?
they are distinguished by their headdress, a tall felt hat, etc. It goes on. It's right. That's not what Bethlehem's known as now. And that's because it was known until, it was described that way until 1995. Bethlehem became the sixth West Bank city to come under Palestinian rule. When Muslims take over, it changes everything. Go to London today compared to 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Bethlehem now, Palestinians destroying and desecrating Christian ties to Holy Land. There are places that have been marked as burial places and places that are identified in the Bible, and the Palestinians are destroying it. And then sometimes especially if it's something that was mentioned in the Quran or something, they'll preserve that. But they're just destructive. An underreported element of the dispute in the Middle East is that the Palestinians are doing their best to erase any Christian religious history to the Holy Land. For over two decades, they've been destroying Christian holy sites, beat up or killed if you go to Bethlehem and try to pray in the place where Jesus was born. According to Dr. Mordecai Kedar of the Begin Sadat Center for, they want to destroy anything and everything except for Islam. And people just don't get it because they're just spiritually stupid. They're spiritually retarded. They have no spiritual discernment, no spiritual sense. So they invite that devilish culture into their countries. Just insanity. Here's a picture of, if you looked at the map of the West Bank and the different settlements and the different areas that are Area A, Area B, Area C, which are under different control. Area A is under Palestinian. B is partial Palestinian. C is Israeli. And then there's Jerusalem City territory and West Jerusalem. You can kind of blow that up there for you. And it just looks like a mess. That's the mess that is the West Bank, which is where Bethlehem is now. You go from one block to another, you don't even know who's in charge. And you got to be careful what you say or do. That's the mess that it is. So back to our text, verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." This is a prophecy that out of Bethlehem would come the Messiah. It's a very clear prophecy. And this was fulfilled by one man, Jesus of Nazareth. And we'll say it over and over. You look at these 100 prophecies on the wall. If Jesus Christ isn't the one who fulfilled all the biblical prophecies of Messiah in the Bible, there never will be a Messiah. It's either Jesus or doom. That's what we're facing. But we don't have to. We have Jesus. So there's no doom.
Amen.
It's only doom for those who reject Christ. That's the only doom. Look at Matthew 2, 1 through 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 1, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 2, verse 1 begins saying, "Now when Jesus was born in what?
Bethlehem.
Of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We wise men of Babylon are..." Verse 2. "We're saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." And what do they say? They quote Micah. Look at verses 5 and 6. Read that with me. "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." What prophet?
Micah.
Read 6. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." There you go. Jesus fulfills this prophecy. Herod asked, and even the leadership of Israel that day answered correctly, where the Messiah would be born. So Antichrist claimed that Jesus force fulfilled messianic prophecies. Have you heard that? All Jesus did was he read the prophecies and he just made sure they all came true. How could Jesus have caused his mother to give birth in Bethlehem before he was even born?
No.
Because he was God, that's
proof. Yeah, there you go. Yes. But to ask those people, how can he do that? And the answer is you can't. I was born in Portsmouth, Ohio. I'm thankful that I was born, and I'm not complaining, but I could think of a lot of different, better choices that I would have made. But that's just crazy talk. "Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting," as Jenny sang. Jesus is the eternal God who has come in the flesh. From everlasting. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." That's Jesus. He's not created. He's the Creator.
Amen.
New versions delete the reference to Jesus being from everlasting. If you look it up in an NIV, they change it to "whose origins are from old, from ancient times."
Oh, wow.
That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults believe. He's from ancient times. He's not from everlasting. You'll see the same thing in the English substandard version, the ESV. "Whose coming forth is from old, from of old, from ancient days." Nonsense. From everlasting. Scripture with scripture. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Turn over there real quick. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now look at that real close and read it. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Stop there. God was manifest in the flesh. Are you clear about who this is talking about? Jesus, right? He's from everlasting. He's God. Not the NIV. The NIV removes the word God and just says, "He appeared in the flesh." Well, so did you. So did I. The legacy substandard version says, he who was manifested in the flesh. So what? So is Muhammad and Buddha. English substandard version says, he was manifested in the flesh.
Who?
It's blasphemous. Yeah. It's a, they're removing references to the deity of Christ. Look over at 1 John 4:2. Just a few more pages over. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. This might seem little, but it's a big deal. 1 John 4:2. If you dare read it. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's a two-letter word there where it says, Jesus Christ, what?
Is.
There's a reason why that's important. There's a reason why the devil wants the NIV to change that to has. He's not has, he is. And remains. Legacy substandard version does the same thing. That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. English substandard version has come from the flesh. Now here's, just to make it clear. Is, present continuous. Has, past tense.
Right.
If your Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, he has come. If your Jesus rose from the dead, he is come.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen.
Subtle little things Satan does like that to water down everybody's opinion and belief about Jesus. Say it with me.
Things that are different are not the same.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So as we close, back to our text, just when it's in passing and mentioning, before we come back next to our next study and next week, if Lord willing, I would rather be talking about this in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe we'll get raptured and talk about it up there. But we're setting the stage. As we read verse 2, we establish the messianic prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then I'll ask you, hopefully everyone who comes back next week, you'll remember this because the next verse begins with the word, therefore. And always remember, if you're going to understand a verse that begins with the word therefore, you have to understand what came before it. Because it's only by understanding what came before that that you understand the therefore. You understand what it's there for. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. So the coming of Messiah sets the stage for the coming prophecies. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. We thank you for the time that we're able to get together as the family of God. All of us are nothing but sinners saved by grace. None of us have any claim to anything other than being rescued. And only by one, the man Christ Jesus, who happens to be God, manifest in the flesh, who shed his blood and paid for the sins of the whole world, was buried in a tomb, and after 3 days rose from the dead. And we thank you so much for the salvation that is given to us as a free gift by faith in that gospel. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing about it. Jesus loves you. You know that?
Amen.
Let's stand and sing about it. Jesus loves me. Let you start.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
first love does.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll get those prayer cards collected. We'll look for the onliners' request online. As we say goodbye to the onliners on three, one, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air.